The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
4 minutes after, I'm John Caldera, in for George. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Let me see if I got this here. Here it is. I brought in the Blue Book. You know, the thing that's cluttering up your kitchen counter. Officially, it is the 2022 State Ballot Information Booklet. All right. It's chock full of good and interesting things. So there's one thing that's on your ballot that you just don't even think about. And you come across it. And you step on it, kind of like you step in dog poop in your backyard and go, oh yeah, that. And it's judges. Judges. So we don't elect judges in Colorado. Sometimes I wish we did, although it's usually a bad thing. A lot of states have elected judges. You can elect a Republican or Democrat. At least that gives you kind of an idea where they stand ideologically. But there's a lot of pay-for-play, silliness, naughtiness, corruption. There's a lot of games that can be played when you start having judges running around as candidates as well. So Colorado has appointed judges. The governor does the appointments, particularly for the Supreme Court. Well, that's nice, except that for the last 40 out of the last 48 years, it's been Democrats controlling the governor's office. So it's no wonder that our judges are a bunch of progressive hacks. Not a surprise. But we have a check and balance. We, the citizens, have at least some say over those judges. It's called retention. Basically, every now and then we get to vote on a judge. And it's not do we vote for Bob or Bill and one of them wins? No. It's do we keep this judge for another X number of years? For instance, for the Colorado Supreme Court, governor appoints somebody 2 years later, that person's up for retention. If they win retention, they get to keep the job for another decade. The other seats are less. Some are 6 years, some are four. Well, how do you decide? How do you decide if somebody's a good judge or a bad judge? How do you decide to vote yes or no on a retention? Well, that's why this Blue Book comes in. What a spectacular resource we have. Yeah, it's wonderful. You see, the government helps us. They created the commissions on judicial performance. Yeah, it's terrific. So the Office of Judicial Performance Evaluation puts together these commissions, these judicial performance commissions, and they evaluate. Matter of fact, it's nice because Colorado has this process that fairly evaluates each judge's work and then reports it to you, the voter. How do I know that it's a fair evaluation? Because I'm reading it right here. It says Colorado has a process to fairly evaluate each judge's work. So it must be fair. It's right there in black and white. And if they say so, it must be true. And so these are the people who judge the judges, and then they pass on the recommendation. Now, they don't actually say vote yes or vote no for retention. They come up with this surrogate language. If they like a judge, they say that the judge meets performance standards. If they don't like the judge, they say the judge does not meet performance standards. Okay, so you'll read these reviews, and if you see the meets standards, that's basically code. It says vote yes. If you don't see that, it's code for maybe you should vote no. Just for baseline. So a year like this, we have 4 constitutional statewide offices. That's the governor, the AG, the Secretary of State, Treasurer. We have all 65 House seats in the State House and half of the 35 Senate seats. So is it 17 or 18 that are up this year? I forget. Anyway, a lot of them are up. And in most all of them, it's a contested seat. You have a Republican and a Democrat. And some of them have a third or even fourth party. So you might have a constitutional party or a Libertarian Party candidate. So there'll be lots of losers. And at least one winner in each of these categories. There will be one winner and lots of losers. Last year, I took a look and pulled up last year's 2 years ago, 2020, I looked at the judges' votes, and there were 5 judges that were up for a statewide retention vote. It was a Supreme Court judges and a Court of Appeals judge and somebody else. Oh, and they all passed. Not a single one of them, not a single one of them failed. In fact, the closest race, the very closest race, was Judge, I think it was Welling. He won a very, very tight race. He won by 70%, actually over 70%. That was the tightest race. That was tight compared to another judge who won by nearly 84%. So these were blowout elections. In fact, I looked at all of the retention votes for all 103 judges last year. 103 judges. None of them failed. None of them failed. Most got about a 75% yes vote. And a lot of them got over around 90% yes votes. None of them failed. So I'm looking at this year's list of judges. And I think there were 8. I believe there were 8 statewide judges. Let me make it 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. See, I did count. And the commissions, there are 11-member commissions. And would you believe that these commissions, which fairly evaluate the judges, have recommended that all of them meet performance standards. That is, they've given a thumbs up on each one of them. Furthermore, they haven't just given them a thumbs up. They voted unanimously to give them a thumbs up on each and every one of the 8 judges that are running statewide. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, what good is this? And then they write things about them. So let's see, the Honorable Jacqueline Casey Brown, that her opinions are timely, clear, and well-reasoned. She's well-prepared, succinct in her questions, and respectful. The commission applauds her collegiality and collaboration amongst her colleagues. The commission recognizes her clear enthusiasm for her work on the bench. Wow. Might as well write she's a good kisser. Just incredible. Here's another one. Judge Fox, she asks good questions, is exceptionally courteous to all parties. You remember Lake Wobegon? the mythical town that Garrison Keillor's home prairie, what, Prairie Home Companion. All the kids, all the children in Lake Wobegon are above average. Statistically impossible. Here, every single judge is not just above average. They are unanimously perfect. They're perfect in every way. Mary Poppins was only practically perfect in every way. These people are perfect in every way. What an inbred, ridiculous system we have for judges. It's insane. It's inbred. No wonder our courts are out of control. So we have a system that is a sycophantic review system that gives no distinction amongst judges. So they're all going to win retention. They will all again win retention. So in my latest column for the Denver Gazette, I make the modest proposal, you should vote no on all of them. You should vote no on all of them. Yeah, even if you're married to one of them, vote no. Why? Because they're all going to win. They're all going to win. The system needs to be repealed, reworked, so that at least there's a chance of them being removed. That's not going to happen overnight. But it'll happen if the norm starts changing from yes to no, or if this evaluation committee starts changing the way they do things. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. What do you do with the judges on the ballot? They don't have to run a campaign. There's no endorsements. There are no commercials. Reporters don't cover these. They're just names. So everybody looks, even if you care about these people, you read the judicial performance evaluations in your blue book, and they're all glowing. So the only thing you have to go on says, yeah, by all means, put them in office for another 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 years. And there you have it. What a shame. I'm trying to think how to change this. I've got a friend in the UK, and he is a soccer fan. Although he's a moron, he keeps calling it football. He doesn't understand. That's not football, that's soccer. And he keeps saying, no, you don't understand. We kick it with our foot. You people need to be calling yours handball, not football. I said, no, we kick it off. We punt it, and we make field goals. It's obviously a football. You limey. And we get into that fight. But I did not know that in the pro world of soccer in England, I think they call it relegation. Is that what they call it? That the top, or that the worst four teams, I think it's the worst four teams in the pro league, whoever the bottom four teams are, get relegated, demoted down to the minor leagues, and whatever the next minor league is. And then the four best minor league teams that year get promoted up to the major leagues. So there's this fight that if you're a minor league team, you really want to be in the top four, because then you can make it into the majors. If you're in the majors, man, you don't want to be at the bottom. If you're in the bottom, you're going downtown. How about the same thing for our judges? Those judges at the bottom lose their job. Yeah, we could still have the retention vote. But you've got to, but the bottom 5% or something get yanked. Personally, I think the best way to handle it is to have a supermajority. If they all pass with over 70% yes votes, why don't we leave the minimum and have the minimum be, I don't know, 65%. If you get less than 65%, then you lose. Something that keeps judges on their toes that they could lose their jobs if they don't do a good job. Or would you rather see, an R or D behind the name of a judge? Would you rather have judges go through the primary process? A lot of states do this. Go to North Carolina, I think Texas too, and you'll see billboards for this judge and that judge. Tough on crime, you know, whatever, on criminals. And so they play to voters. I don't want a judge that plays to voters. I want a judge that plays to the law, to a constitutional version of the law. I want a judge like Antonin Scalia. I do not want a judge like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I want a strict constitutionalist, not some modernist who bends the law to fit her political leanings. How would you do this? How do you vote on judges? 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. How do you recommend we fix the system if we could? Or do you think it's just perfect the way it is? Oh, look at this one. Honorable Matthew Groves. This hard-hitting evaluation says, Groves' approach to treat every case the same from a process and effort perspective and to treat all parties equally and professionally. Judge Groves runs his chambers. They capitalize the word chambers. Pompous jerks. Run his chambers in a collegial, adaptive, flexible, and efficient way, effectively utilizing law clerks and staff. And he knows how to hold you when you cry. You know, when you need to cry, but you just don't know why. Yeah, the kind of guy you bring home to mother. These are not reviews. These are sycophantic, unanimous puff pieces. They're useless. And out of last year, not a single judge lost retention. And I'll go out on a limb and say this year, not a single judge will lose retention again. Give me a solution. 303-696-1970. I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. It's 28 minutes after. I'm John Caldera. George, thank you so much. What a kick spending some time with you this morning. Yeah, you gotta check out the judicial performance evaluations in your blue book and see if you can find one that doesn't meet performance standards. No, they're all glowing. They're all glowing. There are 8 people running for statewide retention. I'm looking through, not a single one fails. And then depending where you are, there are some local ones. I'm looking at my local ones here. Not a single one of them fails to meet performance standards according to this evaluation. What uselessness. So basically, if you're Vladimir Putin, you never lose an election. And if you are a judge in Colorado, you never lose an election. There are other comparisons, but we'll leave it at that for right now. 303-696-1971. How do you vote on judges? How do you decide? If you were to replace the system, how would you do it? I definitely have some sort of fight to the death. Some sort of judicial, gladiatorial thing. I mean, they could wear their robes. I'm not saying that, of course. I'm not a Cretan here. I would want to see that. Just your thoughts. 303-696-1971. All right, let's see. We got a few other things I wanted to get to this morning. Let's see. I didn't know. I should have expected that Hurricane Ian. When did they start naming hurricanes after dudes? I liked it better when hurricanes were all women. Yes, I'm still divorced. Anyway, how Hurricane Ian's damage could exacerbate inequality. That's right. Now even a hurricane is racist. This is beautiful. Yeah. Homeowners in whiter and wealthier communities are likely to see their home values rebound more quickly. Well, how to put this? If you live in a mobile home park, you're poorer. People who are people of color, thanks largely to bad governmental policies, don't own homes, and they often live in mobile home parks. Hurricanes do not like mobile home parks. They will destroy your homes. Not a surprise there, is it? Which means financially, you're going to be more easily wiped out than rich folks. You're going to have more of your money tied into your home than a rich guy. Rich guy might have a home, but he might have other assets. Yeah, this all goes into the life ain't fair category. Why people have insurance and why you should have insurance. So this is from NBC News. The even hurricanes are racist today story. Hurricane Ian has already caused at least 34 deaths, they write. I think that's now up closer to 100. And early numbers suggest that financial losses could hit $40 billion. But these numbers tell only part of the story. That's a line that every emotive, race-baiting news story has to use. But that only tells part of the story. What they don't reveal is how Ian will lead to growing inequity and heighten racial disparities. Oh, this is going to be good. I just know this is going to be good. Research from across the United States shows that climate-related disasters, all right, so we already know that it's climate-related. It's not just a natural disaster. All these things that have happened are climate-related. Got it. Have made our communities more unequal. Put another way, climate change is increasingly becoming a cause of inequality. Part of the problem is our existing recovery policies, which do not distribute post-disaster aid in a fair or equitable way. For example, Black households affected by disasters have often received less aid from FEMA compared to their white counterparts. And in communities have gotten more FEMA aid, the wealth gap has grown. Well, that's an interesting assertion. These disparities stem in part from rates of post-disaster property inspections from FEMA across racial groups. So Not only is the hurricane racist, but the FEMA inspectors now are racist too. I don't think there's any winning. These disparities stem in part from different rates of post-disaster property inspections conducted by FEMA across racial groups, as well as the burden of the application process in applying aid. Really? Wait a minute. So the burden of the application process is more burdensome depending on your skin color? I don't quite get that one. My suspicion is it's the same application to everyone. A line like that basically is a racial insult wrapped in a jibe to white people, as well as the burden of the application process in applying aid. So what they're saying is people of color are too stupid to fill out the form. That's what they're saying, but they don't want to say it that way. NBC News continues. Overall, more recovery dollars have been invested in white communities, which has helped housing values bounce back there. Well, if rich communities have more value, then recovery dollars proportionally will go to those communities at a higher rate. Is that racism? If you have a $5 million home that's destroyed and a $500,000 house that's destroyed and a $50,000 house that's destroyed, and they all get paid for at 100% by FEMA, which none of them would, then, of course, the rich house is going to have a 10 times more money going to it. All right, let's keep rolling. Typically, home values decline in the immediate aftermath of a flood. After Superstorm Sandy hits the flood, there were large drops in home values for properties that flooded, even properties that didn't flood during the storm, but were in nearby flood zones saw a significant decrease in values. All right. But the negative impact of disasters on home prices is not experienced evenly. Lower price homes see more precipitous drops in value, as do homes in higher poverty neighborhoods. Doesn't seem like much of a surprise to me. If, what's the old saying in real estate? Three most important things in real estate are location, location, location. And so when something goes down in value, bad locations are going to be worth proportionally less than less bad locations. Yeah. All right. Point being, even a hurricane is racist. From my point of view, you really gotta think long and hard to find a story how to spin that a hurricane is racist. But they've managed to do so. I'll give you this much though. When a natural disaster hits, a family that has money in reserves will be able to handle a situation better than a family that does not. If a family has, let's say, 3 months worth of savings, that they've got enough money to pay their bills for 3 months, they've got 3 months of runway during a terrible event like this, does it mean they'll be able to more easily be able to pick up their pieces, stay in a hotel for a little while the FEMA checks come in? Yeah. Absolutely. Who is more likely to have some money in the bank? people with money. That's absolutely right, which is one of the reasons why savings rates count and why inflation is so devastating. I just saw a story that 60% of American families are living paycheck to paycheck. And it's terrifying. And trust me, I am no man of wealth, or as like what we like to say around here at KNUS, I am no George Brockler. But I can handle a couple of months without a paycheck if the worst happens, because I put aside a little bit for a rainy day, which I hope you have as well. But when inflation hits, you start hitting that rainy day fund. Poor people are less likely to have that rainy day fund. Inflation, debt spending, loose monetary policies are going to hurt poor people in a crisis like Ian more so than a wealthy person. That's just plain common sense. You want to help everybody stop the inflation. Or let me put it a little differently. Maybe NBC News ought to come up with a big headline that says, inflation is racist. Inflation hurts poor people more than wealthy people. Maybe NBC ought to put up a big banner headline. Massive spending money, spending programs, spending bills with money that doesn't even exist yet hurts poor people. Because it does. Wouldn't it be great if it just said Biden policies are systemically racist, which they are? That would be a headline. I'm not holding my breath. All right, 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. Please keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. Got 11 minutes to the top. What a fun morning. Hey, thanks for spending it with me. You know, maybe George should have more speaking engagements. He says as he rubs his chin. I'm John Caldera. Hey, by the way, I hope you check out the Independence Institute. Hope you go to thinkfreedom.org. That's thinkfreedom.org. We've got a voter guide up on the Colorado, some of the Colorado issues on the ballot, and some of the city and county of Denver issues. No, we don't cover all of them. We don't touch candidate elections. We're not allowed to. We're a C3 organization, blah, blah, blah. But please check us out. Get on our newsletter so you can come to our events and see what we're doing and check out our great work. If you don't check out Complete Colorado every single day, you're missing something. So Complete Colorado is a news service that we put together. We bring together stories from around the state, make sure that there's not a paywall in front of them, so you know what's going on politically around Colorado for free, from news sources all around the state and around the nation. We also bring you original content from commentators like Ari Armstrong and some guy named Mike Rosen. I hear he used to do radio somewhere. Mike Rosen does a great column for us. I work for us, our columns there, as well as Sherry Pipes reporting and other great things. It's just a terrific resource. And you know what it costs you? Nothing. Again, Complete Colorado. How do you remember it? Well, you live in Colorado. You should remember that. And it's like the whole thing of Colorado. It's the Complete Colorado. So just two words, Complete Colorado. Put them together, CompleteColorado.com. Give it a whirl. You might actually like it. And if you do, tell a friend. I hope you follow me on social media. I don't put out a whole bunch of stuff, but when we do some new stuff and I put out a column and things, And it's always at John Caldera. There's no H in John. There's no E in Caldera, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Caucus Room. If you haven't tried Caucus Room, it's a really great little service. It allows conservatives to speak a bit more freely around the issues they care about. Good stuff. All right, there were a few other things I wanted to get to this morning. Didn't know if we had all the time to do so. Where is it? I only have like 500 things up on my computer. Where is that one? I'll just put it here. There was a Planned Parenthood is going to be putting together a mobile abortion vehicle. No, I'm not joking. They're going to be putting together an RV that provides abortion services, among other services. Just want to be clear. I think they're going to be doing that in Michigan or some other state. I'm trying to find the story here. I lost it in the clutter of web pages. And the idea was not to go into other states, but to be close to other states, if need be, to provide those services. And I know this is going to feel very distasteful, but in those states where abortion is not just legal, but supported, as in Colorado, expect more of it. In fact, I see Colorado as becoming one of the top abortion tourist states. Ever been down to Trinidad? Trinidad is beautiful. Trinidad is beautiful. And way back when, Trinidad was known as the sex change capital of the country. I forget the doctor's name, but people would go down there for a sex change operation, or the series of sex change operations it would take. The doctor who provided the service had a policy, I think a pretty darn good one. He said that you had to live as the other gender for a year at least before he would ever make the surgery happen. So if you wanted to mutilate your body and turn your penis into a vagina, he would do that for you, but you needed to live as a woman for a year so you understood the lifestyle, so you could do it. And he had to observe it. You had to check in with him. So apparently Trinidad had a lot of people going through transition. By the way, I give these guys a lot of credit. That's a big step to do. So he no longer does that. I think he passed away. And so Trinidad has always kind of lost that income. And not just the income from the surgery, but people would come and stay there for a year, and it was another industry. Trinidad in the next few years could well become an abortion hub that women from, or should I say, I'll use the new term, persons capable of birthing. How's that? Because it's not just women who can get pregnant now. From Texas and Oklahoma, driving up would be the first city that they'd get into in Colorado. You could see that in different areas around the states where abortion is still legal. And in Colorado, where there is no limit right up to birth, this will be a destination state. So when Planned Parenthood plans to put together a mobile RV facility that can drive right across the border of an anti-abortion place, don't be surprised. They're using the law in the way intended. If we believe that this is a state's rights issue, as I do, then we have to fight this out on the state level. Well, that's what it means. And it means those who support the right to abortion are going to find ways to make it easier for people in states that are restricting it to move, to get there, to provide those services elsewhere. I can't think of a more centrally located place than Colorado. You heard it here first. Look for it in Fort Collins. Look for it in Trinidad and all around DIA. That's going to be my suspicion. Have yourself the best day ever. George, thank you so much, and keep it here on KNU.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.